May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Let me begin this sermon by reading to you in a foreign language. Vad Joha Vaj Lad the Ko Velt Ga Notba Dajwa Je Ne Puklod Velith If Hata Dag Ga Should Go Chilque Ach Get Eternal Linen. Anyone know what that was? Oh, is that Jess at the back there? Jess, what is it? It is Klingon! That's unbelievable. Nobody knew that at 7:30. Man. Do you know what it was, though? Do you know what that was? It was John 3:16. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, it is the native tongue of the enemies of the human race in Star Wars. Which means that, yes, there is someone, MrKlingon.org to be exact, who has translated the Bible into Klingon based on the phonetic and linguistic clues found in the original TV show. Some people just have too much time on their hands. St. Paul says that Christians may speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I'm not sure about those originating in strange new worlds and civilizations, boldly going where no man has gone before. Today is the Sunday after Ascension Day. That day, last Thursday, was day 40 of Easter. Next Sunday is the last day of Easter, the day of Pentecost. And these 10 days in between last Thursday and next Sunday are the days of the Klingons. Cling on. Klingon is our most natural language, especially in these 10 days between the departure of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Think of that, 10 days when God was just not around. No more Jesus, but not yet the Holy Spirit. Oh, the pain of that departure. Can you feel it? Confusion too. Jesus had gone. He'd gone before, of course, but he had died, but he had returned. But this time was different. There was a finality in Jesus' words that told the 11 that this time he was not coming back. They would never see him again, at least not in the dimensions of this time and space. But he had been their reason for their lives in the last 3 years. They had given up everything for him. They'd left businesses, homes, and families to follow Christ. They had listened to his teaching and built their lives on it. They had hung on his every word. They had watched in amazement at his miracles and healings. They had marveled at his acts of compassion. They'd been captivated by his debates with the religious leaders and the ways in which he had demonstrated God's authority. Their hopes for the future had been established on his promises and his friendships. And now he was going away. You can hear them thinking, "No, no, Jesus, don't go. We can't go on without you. We can't do this if you're not here." They think Klingon, whisper Klingon, scream Klingon. Klingon is all they can do. And two men in white robes say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go. There is hope, but don't cling on. Jesus had promised, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. God will send you another counselor to be with you always. Why are you just standing looking into the sky? There is a future, a grand and glorious future. Because Jesus is alive and is seated in heaven, the course of this world is certain. It has been decided. The kingdom of God will come. Why are you just standing looking into the sky? You have work to do. You will no longer see him, but in a way you can't understand, he will be with you for all time. Oh, why are you just standing there looking into the sky? We live with loss. It's part of life. Loss is one thing we cannot escape. We watch the person we love pass through the security gate at the airport. We drive away from college, having embraced a child who is now no longer dependent on us. We sit next to someone's deathbed. We meet in court to formally end a relationship that had blossomed in love and borne gorgeous fruit. We let go of those we still love and those we once loved but whom we love no more. How good are you at letting go of people? We let go of dreams that we had, those young visions that kept us awake at night, too excited to sleep. Our heads filled with lifting the trophy, hearing the crowd and basking in glory. Those hopes gave us energy. They drove us to study, to innovate, to work, to love, to play. We let go of our healthy bodies and our sharp minds, the legs that once ran down the beach, the arms that lifted children. Of course we want to speak Klingon. Of course we resist the ending, fight the leaving, battle with all that we have to prevent the loss. But resisting a loss that God has seen fit to ordain is futile and makes our pain more intense and longer lasting. She is no fool who gives up what she cannot keep to gain what she cannot lose. Why are you standing there looking into the sky? The 11 had to give up their friend and master. They had to give Jesus over to God and let his will be done. 10 days later, they were glad they had. Their empty hands meant that they could receive the Spirit. And so will we when we accept our losses, open our hands, and receive. After Pentecost, they could see that truth clearly, but they had to let him go. You see, the future for Klingons is not rosy. But that's not all. When we stop talking Klingon and begin to speak acceptance, we let go of things we can't use and don't need. The pain of rejection, the sting of injustice, the hammer of heartbreak. We let go of the anger that came with the betrayal or the firing, the injury, the insult. We let go, too, of the stuff we have collected that distracts us from our priorities. And we give up our false selves. those fake images we present to the world that we hope will bring us acceptance, friendship, and a good reputation. We let go of trying to control things we can't influence, people and situations, and even God. The writer Ronald Pinkerton describes a near accident he had when he was hang gliding. He launched his hang glider off a hill and was lifted serenely by invisible forces to 4,200 feet into the sky. He hung motionless, suspended by warm air. But his calm was destroyed by a sudden blast of violent cold air that sent the hang glider plummeting towards the ground. He described what happened next. "I was falling at an alarming rate. Trapped in an airborne riptide, I was going to crash. Then I saw him, a red-tailed hawk. He was 6 feet from my right wingtip, fighting the same gust as I was. I looked down. I was only 300 feet from the ground and still falling. The trees below seemed like menacing pikes. I looked at the hawk again. Suddenly, he banked and flew straight downwind. Downwind. If the right air is anywhere, it's upwind. The hawk was committing suicide. 200 feet. From nowhere, the thought entered my mind, follow the hawk. It went against everything I knew about flying, but now all my knowledge was useless. I was at the mercy of the wind. I followed the hawk. 100 feet. Suddenly, the hawk gained altitude. For a split second, I seemed to be suspended motionless in space. Then a warm surge of air started pushing the glider upward. I was stunned. Nothing I knew as a pilot could explain this phenomenon. But it was true. I was rising. Why are you standing there, looking into the sky? Let go. Stop clinging. Open your hands. Release the thing you can't keep and get ready to receive the thing you can't lose. You may be a contemplative Christian. You love to be quiet and ponder the goodness of God. For you, prayer comes easy most of the time. Your God-given personality is at ease with worship, meditation, gazing deeply into the scripture and the ways of the Spirit. And if that is you, I'm in awe of you. But even the grieving disciples had to stop gazing into heaven and get ready for the next stage of life. Life filled not with a red hawk, beautiful and inspiring though it is, but the dove of Pentecost. Or you may be an activist Christian, always on the go, serving others, changing the world, being the evangelist and apostle God has called you to be. But even the early apostles had to wait for the dove. So today's contemplative, the angels ask the same question they ask the apostles. Why are you standing there looking up into heaven? There's a mission to fulfill. And to the activist, the angels this morning ask a different question. Why are you running around trying to change the world? There's waiting to be done. I've never achieved that balance of contemplation and activity. I am often restless, struggling with what I'm not doing. I see this in the place of my dreams. I have this recurring one. Don't laugh, but I'm at college and I have failed to turn in an essay. The reason I haven't turned it in is that I haven't written it. And the reason I haven't written it is that I don't know what it's supposed to be about. The reason I don't know what it's about is I haven't attended any classes. The other night, the subject was history, but that's all I knew. I didn't know what period of history. All I knew is I had to turn in an essay. I suppose I could guess, write an essay about Victorian England and hope the class isn't the Second World War. But, and here's where God is, I had this feeling in the dream that my anxiety was a waste of time and energy. I somehow knew that I wouldn't have to answer for my failures, that the professor had either forgotten I owed them an essay, or was going to let me off, or someone in the admin office made a mistake and I wasn't meant to turn in an essay after all. But for whatever reason, I knew deep down in my dream that my sins didn't matter. Don't just stand there looking into heaven, and don't talk Klingon. Open your hands and get ready to receive. Amen.